Lick my biscuit, Keith. Lick it. Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 202. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me for this godlike edition of the podcast, we have Peter, holier than thou, Wellington.
Hi.
And Keith, the original sin, Andrew.
I feel like you're making some kind of comment there about me and my life. But,
you have to feel, Keith, you can just know.
I also like your pronunciation of podcast. It's good.
Well, you know, I've got to try and say it differently. It's weird when you say the same thing every time or on a number of occasions, it just becomes like a tic. I find myself blurting it out, you know, in the middle of movies in the cinema and when I'm asking for change at the post office, you know. They look very confused.
Why are you asking? What do you mean asking for change? Like just going in, going, have you got change?
Yes, I do. I'm like a proactive beggar. So rather than just sitting on the street, I go into shops and I approach people and demand change for no reason.
Give us a stamp, mate.
Yeah, go on. Go, even second class. Come on.
I'm a third class citizen. I just want a second class stamp. Come on.
Exactly. So, yeah. How is everyone? That's been a little while. Keith, where have you been? Where have you been?
I've been to London.
London town to find my fortune.
With a gold paving street. Paving's not worth it. Have I missed two in a row? I was on the one with you. I think the last one I did was with you, Pete.
Yeah. That I think you were on 200 then. Yeah, I think you were.
I
on
haven't
that.
Done one since.
No, I haven't. Just...
No, you've missed one.
It's one.
This is riveting conversation.
I know this is podcast maths we're doing here. How exciting.
I thought people might have missed the soul of the podcast.
That's true.
Don't want to hammer that home.
Again. No, God forbid he should hammer that home that once in one article you were referred to as the soul of the podcast.
I haven't shown my mother or anything.
Well, I suppose it's because the frame you put it in is too big to carry to her house.
It's an idea.
Act all innocent. Anyway, it's been something of a sort of slowish week this week. What with the Americans have that holiday where I think, from what I understand, every year they celebrate the fact that a turkey gave some pumpkin pie to Scott Pilgrim. And yeah, that's what happens, isn't it? That was it.
Yeah. I get confused between this day and the one where Will Smith went up into a spaceship. And,
yeah, they are confusing. Both these American holidays that we don't celebrate over in the UK. But it's been one of those holidays with pumpkins in. And so no one really has done an awful lot because they're too busy preparing and baking pies and all that sort of stuff.
Very lazy.
There's been a hell of a lot in the way of new releases and some exciting sales stuff as well that we're going to inform you about. So we'll give you a little bit of info in that regard over in the news. Peter and Keith, what are your favourite commandments?
thou shalt not do bad transitions.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, broken.
That's now my favourite.
Straight from the... What's your favourite?
No, that one is now.
Oh, that one is now.
Yeah, and it's the only one I know now as well.
The 11th commandment.
The 11th commandment.
Right, yeah, just before thou shalt not make up random commandments and insult thine religious listeners. Well, you know what my favourite is? My favourite is thou shalt always use Kickstarter to fund projects based on old God games.
Old God games.
Which is, I think, commandment number 468. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really big stone tablet. What the hell am I talking about? Peter Molyneux has decided to essentially revive Populous, that God game that basically invented the God game genre way, way back, 1989, I think it was. And he's opened a Kickstarter for a new project based on that game called Project Goddess.
This Godess?
I'm saying Goddess, but yeah, Godess, G-O-D-U-S.
God Us?
God, yes, God Us, quite possibly. I don't know. But, he has decided to kind of recapture the glory of the olden days. He's looking for £450,000, which is about $700,000, to bring it to PC and mobile devices, hopefully towards the end of next year. What he claims is it's going to mix the scope, the grandeur and depth of Populous with the more multiplayer aspects of things like Dungeon Keeper. And the idea is players are going to create a living world that can they can shape it, build it, and obviously ultimately destroy it as they see fit, so they say. Is anyone excited for Godus? Goddess.
I think I'm only excited, but that's just because, you know, whoever's kind of putting out the press about this is trying to very specifically tickle a few fan words that you might think of when you think of old PC gaming. It's like when he sort of says, oh, it's the depth of Populous, and then you hear people pricks their ears up, and they go, oh, Populous. And then they go, oh, and the building and multiplayer of Dungeon Keeper, and then more and more people are like, oh, maybe I'll get in for Dungeon Keeper. We haven't had another one of those in a while. Doesn't he have a fair amount of money? If he rocked up to like any company and went, yo, I'm gonna make a Populous and Dungeon Keeper sequel, like, and my name's Peter Molyneux, wouldn't any company just go, here, just take this big sack of cash?
Well, that has been one of the points that's been raised. People have, depending on who starts up a project for Kickstarter and in what context, seems to greatly affect the reaction to it. For example, Tim Schafer, who's kind of really brought the whole Kickstarter thing into the mainstream, started it up with his, like, we're going to do Double Fine Adventure. And everyone was like, hey, Double Fine Adventure, Tim Schafer, bloody brilliant. Tim Schafer's got some coins to rub together. He's not a skint, tiny little indie developer. And everyone was like, hey, whereas Molyneux does it. And everyone's like, oh, it's disgraceful. Rich man using Kickstarter, how dare he. It's an interesting, I thought, the reactions between the two have been telling me. I'm not saying it's right or wrong either way. And you can use Kickstarter for different reasons. One of the examples for using it is like, I think you're right, Peter. He could rock up to a publisher and say, hey, I'm Peter Molyneux, give me all your monies for this game. And they'd go, all right. But there's always that level of, you know, it can be a level of interference that comes with that. You relinquish certain amounts of control over the project, that sort of thing. Whereas this way he gets to keep it himself. And in fact, in the Kickstarter blurb on the page, he goes on and on about how we're doing this because we want it to be your game. We want you to shape the project. We want your input. And that way we can build the game that you want. Keith, do you believe him? Do you think that this is he's honest in this, or what are his reasons behind kickstarting it and not just funding it himself?
I think the irony of Kickstarter, and I will, you know, Mr. Negative Nancy that I am, I've been saying it ever since Schafer, is that it is something that is pretty much only a useful tool if you're already known. And if you're already known, chances are, as Peter suggests, you could probably somehow, maybe, although Revolution with Broken Sword said this wasn't the case, but you could probably somehow get it published if you wanted to without doing this. But this is a way, you know, it's as much a promotional tool as it is a funding one. It's just a very good way of getting a lot of press that continues to run for a game, you know, in the months stroke years before it comes out. I think actually the 450,000 target is quite a low one.
It's quite modest, isn't it?
Yeah. I would have thought he'll pass that easily, which again then enables you to get a lot of positive press because you can say, oh, we raised two times, you know, three times our target, etc., etc. So it's a very canny. And I also think he's got, listening to some of the tweets he put out in response, because as you say, there was quite a negative reaction. Anything Molyneux does at the moment seems to bring out a negative reaction. He was basically saying, he was kind of pitching it as him kind of mucking in with the indies again, because I think he does see himself as an indie now, even though he obviously isn't scrounging for money.
Well, it's interesting because this Peter Molyneux's previous game, or the one that's been getting all the attention recently, obviously has been this Curiosity What's Inside the Box, which had nothing to do with Kickstarter. That was funded entirely independently by 22 Cans, but then proceeded to experience operational difficulties pretty soon after it launched, because apparently they didn't anticipate the influx of users, and all the servers fell over or something. That's what got reported anyway. And then he started putting out requests on, you know, for people to donate via PayPal. So he was kind of, he's already had his hand out once in the past, like Fortnite. And now here he is again with the Kickstarter thing. Now, I mean, I was never a specific, like, Populous fan. God games aren't necessarily my thing. But you say that it probably break through the target quite easily. I mean, it's within like 24 hours, 48 hours of it launching, we're up to £76,000 out of the 450. So it's going to make it within like a week, week and a half, probably.
Yeah.
Now here's my big question, okay. Mm-hmm. He's always said that 22 cans was going to be 22 experiments.
Yeah.
Right? So is it then, do we think, that his second project, its gameplay might have some bits that are different, but he's sort of already said, you know, that he's going to go back to the well and kind of look at Populous and Dungeon Keeper and kind of smash the two together and see what happens. So he's not exactly going to be reinventing, like, he's, you know, reinventing those brands. He's not going to be evolving them in any way. So is the experiment here Kickstarter?
I don't think this is an experiment. I don't think this is one of the 22. I think this is just a game.
But that's
because all of his experiments, he said, well, he basically suggested to me that they were going to be mobile only. So I think this is just, I mean, this is why I was quite surprised by it, really, because you think that he's got quite a lot on his plate right now, just getting Curiosity to work with a team that, as he tweeted, has had to put in 36-hour shifts nonstop just to get the service working and so forth, that it seems, I was really quite surprised when I heard about this the other day that he was doing this, but I think this is something separate. It's obviously being done by 22 Cans, but I don't think this is one of the experiments. I think he's just making a game.
But didn't he say that there was only going to be one more game? Didn't he say that he was only going to release one more game? He was going to do 22 experiments, and there was going to be one more game, and then that was going to be it. Feedback. If this is another game, and this is not that game, then hasn't he already broken his promise? Like two, you know, the second project.
And at the end of the video, it shows like this like roadmap, and it says Curiosity, and then like little bit of a roadmap, blah 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 blah, Goddess, and then the next project.
Number two. So is it, either this is another game or this is another experiment. He's going to get the project funded and turn around and go, ha, it's not a game, it's a something else, or which you couldn't do on Kickstarter, I suppose. But
yeah, but everyone knows. I can't imagine that Kickstarter is, if it is an experiment, I can't imagine it's an experiment to see what you can do with Kickstarter, because I think everyone already knows that, and the fact that he's a huge name completely nullifies any results he'll get anyway, because he'll get flooded because he's a huge name, and his whole idea about publishing all these results from every experiment is that it's of use to every kind of developer. So I can't see that. I wouldn't have thought they'd have started another experiment, you know, like
while the other one was still going on.
Yeah, in this way, I think it just struck me, and it looks like it, just from the kind of way it's pitched, it sounds more like a game than Curiosity was,
which is
a game.
Why we were confused, because I was sure that I read that he said he was only going to do one more. I mean, granted,
I think what he intends to do is whatever the kind of the game that results from the 22 experiments is, that supposedly encompasses all of them, will be his final game, I imagine, as in then he'll bow out. It could be 20
black and white three.
Anyway, so.
Black and white three. Yeah, well, obviously, whatever the Mr. Peter Molyneux says, we generally take with a pinch or two of salt. Bless him, because he is great fun. But, you know, he says things. He says things, and then things don't happen. Mm-hmm. But we don't mind. Well, I don't mind anyway. I find it quite fun. So I just approve of the enthusiasm. But if you want to get in on Project Goddess, you have got up until Friday the 21st of December to contribute your coinage. There's a bunch of backer perks, as always, with these things. So you get to get digital copies, and your name will appear in the game, and you get a personalized start screen and all that kind of junk. But I'd get in, well, get in quick. It's probably going to be funded pretty soon. But yeah, as always, they promise that if it goes well over, he'll add other things to it. So there'll be, you know, flying monkeys or
the bullfrog logo.
Yeah, the bullfrog logo will hover omnipresent in the sky, looking down on your little city as you gradually raise and lower the ground level. Oh, Populous is fun. Speaking of old games coming back, GTA Vice City will be swerving, slamming, screeching, shooting, blamming, smashing onto iOS. On December the 6th, we said that it would be coming out soon. We've just got the release date. So December the 6th, it will cost you £2.99 or £3, $5. And it will be GTA Vice City on your mobile, really. That's about it. But it's cause for celebration in some places. I'm quite happy to have it. We mentioned it when they announced they were going to do it. Peter and I disagreed over what the best Grand Theft Auto game was. So I'm happier than he is at this point.
What's the best one?
San Andreas.
But Vice City, clearly. Let's see if they bring San Andreas to mobile.
I think the best one's 3, because that's the one the rest all are. So
3, you know, I 3 is also like probably my second favorite.
I think you guys can get the hell out. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I'm not a big GTA fan, but. I liked 3 because 3 was when it changed, and I don't think it's changed again, really.
It was the impact of 3, yeah. There was that wonderful feeling when you walked into 3, you were like, oh my god, 3D open world! Ah! And it was like one of the first times you'd ever seen anything like it. And so it had a huge impact. And also, your protagonist shut the F up, which at times a benefit. Same thing with Vice City. That's quite good.
What? I can't remember his name.
You like him so much.
CJ.
People liked Vice City for the soundtrack, didn't they? I thought that's why.
Well, the soundtrack and the fun and the fact that it's Scarface in a game and all that stuff. Yeah, it was just a little bit more. The grittier and the more real Grand Theft Auto gets. Grand Theft Auto 4 is really technically impressive, and it is impressive, and I played through it to the end, but the more real and gritty it seems to get, the less, I don't know, life when you push for grittiness and reality in games, you can do that at the sacrifice of wonder and fun and entertainment, I think.
Yeah.
Everything gets a bit brown, everything gets a bit serious, and everyone gets very po-faced, whereas Vice City is the antidote to that, where it's bright, pink, Miami Strip nonsense, shooting around in silly, you know, suits with your sleeves rolled up. And that was just cracking fun with an awesome soundtrack, like you said.
I just think all those games get way too hard right at the end, and it really puts me off buying them.
Yeah?
Yeah. You get to the end and you're like, okay, you've got this like 30-minute long level where you're going to die a bunch of times, and there's like no checkpointing, and
And even after that, you've got all the pigeons to collect.
Yeah, exactly.
Never ends, does it? So
I never get to the end. I'm too busy trying to run people over and just see what the engine does if I do this, that, and the other.
Well, that was the glory of Grand Theft Auto 3, just like wandering around with weapons. Just
I was still doing that in 4, then realizing. Oh, it's the same. It just looks a bit nicer.
You're sick.
5 looks boring as hell to me.
5 looks amazing.
Oh, God. No, it looks post-LA Noir, which is quite a good thing. But then that was a certain game in itself that wasn't meant to be funny. This is...
Five looks really fun.
It doesn't. It just looks exactly the same. And I think I'm bored of America. Go somewhere else.
I'm with you there. I agree that it's a shame that 4 they went back to Liberty City, and 5 they're now going back to San Andreas. I would have liked.
It looks too good. It looks too nice. It looks, as you kind of say, it looks boring and real. It's character is gone.
Do you think it's a bit ironic that they're putting out Vice City, and when they put out GTA 3, everyone was like, oh my gosh. Mm.
That's exactly what I said and how I said it.
Exactly. But I know. I heard you. I was like, oh. Because everyone could hear you because it was really loud.
I was very excited.
I know. And but Vice City's coming out, and there's not really that fanfare anymore. And I think that that's evidenced by the fact that we're all now talking about the new game, like the actually new game. And I don't think people just aren't as excited about Vice City, are they? Like coming out, it's just like, yeah, oh, brilliant.
Well, I'm not.
That's coming out.
It's not going to rock my world because I've already played it, but I'll pick it up because I like having them on my mobile. They're a good.
I think that's the issue, isn't it? We've kind of already played them, and
people were quite excited about 3A because at the time we were saying, oh, they can actually fit it. You know, be on there, and B because anyone that had on iOS was Game Off's horrible clones. Oof. have tried to do the same thing. So everyone's like, oh, great, finally GTA will be on there, and now. You kind of think, yeah, well, okay, GTA again is going to be on there now.
If you can muster up any excitement, I'm sure it will as well. I'm sure it will do the decent dollars, 5 of them, in fact. So December 6th, look forward to that if you are into your Vice City. However, if you're more of a brawling, fighting kind of guy, then, yes, Peter, I thought this would be your tickle your
real life
nostalgia glands.
Is this what he gets up to at the weekend?
Yes. Yeah, I go out fighting.
With the Utes, yeah.
Yeah, with the ne'er-do-wells that live down the road.
But do you bring your big stick grenades and silly red beret? Because that's what Rolento does in Street Fighter X Tekken. Brackets, mobile.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Are you about to address an issue?
So, why... what is wrong with Capcom? Like, okay, so... Do you know what the history of Rolento is? Because I will bore you to tears.
No, Final Fight. Rolento was Final Fight, wasn't he?
Right. Rolento was Final Fight, but he was only in Final Fight in the Japanese version.
He was a boss, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a boss, but he wasn't in the... I believe it was the UK one he didn't turn up in.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, like... What? Like, and he wasn't even a major part of that game. He was a boss and everything, but there was, like, no backstory to him. He was just a really difficult boss. Like, there was no... Like, who cares about Rolento?
Well, apparently...
I can't wait to play as Rolento again.
I hear what you're saying. Clearly, Capcom thinks he's worth a damn, because he's brought him back and stuck him in Street Fighter X Tekken Mobile, along with Heihachi. Now, you can't have any complaints against Heihachi.
Fair enough. Heihachi, brilliant. If in my fighting games, I will have any man who throws their own son into a volcano twice in the space of three games. Like,
also, yes. anyone who turns up in Soul Calibur 2 with no weapons.
Yeah, yeah, just like, yeah, bring it. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. That's a man right there. Exactly. Even if he has got silly angel wings for hair.
Where is my D-Dark? Where is Skullamania? Right? Where is Skullamania? Why are they not
I can
back?
See Keith's face right now. It's just like, he's just saying words. I don't understand.
I'd actually fallen asleep. No, never mind.
Exactly. Where, come on, Keith, where is his Skullamania?
Yeah, where's my
Skullamania? Answer him.
Talk to me.
Have you left it on the sofa or what?
It's probably down the back of the set.
So where did you last see it? You know, that's...
I last saw him in Street Fighter EX, EX2 or EX3. Don't think it was in 3. Maybe it was. No.
The EX games are my favourite for the spoken intro for the Street Fighter EX.
By Arika. Like, yeah. Those games were amazing because they'd always go, Arika. And you'd be like, what? I've just put a Street Fighter game in. Who the hell are these guys? And then at the end, it'd be like... Also Capcom. Brilliant.
Yeah. Them and the Resident Evil announcers are amazing because they do the same shtick every time, and it's like no one's pointed out that it's daft. Or maybe they have and they're doing it on purpose. It's deliberate camp at this point. But about this Rolento thing, I kind of sympathise slightly with you here. Not that I really care all that much, to be honest. But I sympathise slightly because there aren't that many fighters in Street Fighter X Tekken Mobile. It's not like they have the full roster. It's not like you have 20 to choose from. There's like 5 on each side, which has now gone up to 12. But there's a lot of even primary Street Fighter characters they could have introduced before they introduced some random boss from Final Fight.
Like, Maya Hagger I've wanted to play as Maya Hagger since I saw that there was that arcade game that was going to come out. You guys remember this, obviously, called Capcom Fighting Evolution. And that was like a 3D... arcade brawler, and it got cancelled at like the last minute, and it was going to have Hagger, and you could play as Hagger, Maya Hagger, Keith Maya Hagger, the Maya that his body is literally three times the size of like his head in terms of
width. Cody, it's and incredible. The other one, I forget their names,
and Cody, yeah, and Cody and Guy,
yeah,
and is Guy in this? Because Cody's meant to be in this. He's in the new version of. He is in.
Yeah. But he's not in this one. I don't know. There's so many different... They're all different versions. The PS3 version, the Vita version, the mobile version. They're all fucking different things. But...
Just give me Hagger.
Yes, just give me Hagger and no...
Skullamania.
Stop saying Skullamania. Not a real thing. Right. You can get, if you want, Heihachi and Rolento in Street Fighter X Tekken Mobile. It is a free update, I reckon. So you're not even... You're not even paying any cash. So you will automatically get it. What's more, it's on sale at this very, very moment. For 69p 99 cents, as part of the whole Thanksgiving shenanigans thing, so get it now, because usually it's a bit more costly than that. It's about £3 or something. Also, while we're on sales, we have a great big sales list written up at the moment. Big old Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Awesome Saturday, Wicked Sunday, was it Cyber Monday, Totalitarian Tuesday, where it all gets a bit serious and they come and take all your stuff away. Yeah, as part of that whole Thanksgiving sale thing, we've got a whole massive list up on the site. So just type in, type in iOS sale into, just type in sale, in fact, into the search bar, and you'll get up a whole list, massive list of iOS games, and fill your boots, because there's loads of banging offers we can direct you towards. So go and have a look at that on the site. If you fancy a slightly more substantial purchase, if you're sick of downloading all these games through the air, sucking them through little cables and through the atmosphere onto your phone as if it was never there and then suddenly it is, but it's not really because it's intangible. It's a little digital thing that floats around. Do you miss the times when you'd go in and you'd slap hard cash on a table in a gruff voice and say, give me a game. Give me a game. And they'd give you a big box like that Bosch. A huge box in some cases with just like a tiny little diskette inside. But the box was like five times the size of your bag. Completely unnecessary. But you loved it because it was a huge box. And it had cardboard and it had funny drawings all over it. It was brilliant. If you long for those days, then you probably won't like Skylanders Battlegrounds. But you can get Skylanders Battlegrounds! Hey!
Hooray!
It's in a massive bloody great box! And it's got little toys in it, as well as a game. And you can play with those toys, provided you're under the age of 15 and in a room with the curtains drawn and you don't tell anyone because, you know, you're playing with little toys, aren't you, really? With dragons and stuff. Mm. Pink dragons. This might be, we weren't sure about this in the office, but this might be the first ever boxed iOS game. What's more, it's $39.99.
But you get the Portal of Power.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope it's called that. Yes, you do. You get Activision's Bluetooth-powered portal. I won't say power again, because it's redundant. But you can get little portal that you get with the console games where you put your little Skylanders figure on it and he goes zoom, and by some kind of alchemy, some kind of magic, he blips into the game. And you can now do that with your phone. I don't know if anyone's played this. Do you just have to put it on the portal once and then it's in the game forever? Do you have to keep doing it? Because it seems that if you only have to do it once, that's pretty pointless to have that portal. It'll get, like, you know, five uses and that's it. So I assume you have to have it on all the time. Like DRM.
It depends. I've been, and I'll talk about it later, but I've been playing Lost Islands. And you can use the Portal of Power to register your Skylanders. But once you have, it's like you're done.
Is it? Yeah, because that seems like a pointless peripheral, especially if you're coughing up 40 quid for it. But
it might might be different for Battlegrounds.
Yeah, it might be different for Battlegrounds. We haven't played it. And what we do know is this has been massively, massively successful. Thing is, I saw a story earlier on in the week which sort of relates to the whole Skylanders thing, because we didn't end up publishing the actual story because when I went to go and check the source just before we published it, the source had been pulled down, which made everyone very suspicious, and we sort of held back from publishing it. But there was a bit of news that went up on a Disney fan site that someone had caught a glimpse of a video, kind of an instructional video that's sent out to retailers where it trains you how to use certain products. And that training video was for, so it claims, a game called Disney Infinity, which is essentially a Disney version of this Skylanders package, where they have the game and then they have the figures, and the figures would go on a portal, very similar. They called them pads or cards or something like that. They gave it a slightly different name, but it was clearly the same thing as the Skylanders system, a physical portal. You put toys on it, and then the world is created and the characters ported in. Which seems to me to be a direct response to the success of Skylanders and basically the fact that it's a license to print money. When you think of what Disney has to draw on in terms of its back catalogue of all the Disney characters and now the Marvel characters as well, so all the superheroes, and now Star Wars, the whole Star Wars. Exactly. Like, this is the there's just money everywhere, money out your ears, and flying out your lightsaber and you know, wafting out your long blonde Disney princess hair. Just money, I would say. And if it's the case, if it is true, it's only a rumor. But if it is true, direct response to this Skylanders thing, clearly. And we can look forward to £40 box sets of Disney, a Disney game with little Yoda that you put on a little portal, and then you kick Yoda off, and then you stick an Iron Man on, which is, you know, in no way weird or incongruous. And you flick it off, and then you put Jasmine from Aladdin, and you put her on. Then they all have a death match. Who would win? Who would win? Jasmine, Iron Man, Yoda. No, it's a bare knuckle fight to the death, is what it is. But Jasmine gets to bring that tiger thing.
Does Jasmine also get to call on the genie played by Robin Williams?
No, because Aladdin can call on the genie. He has the lamp. She doesn't have the lamp. That doesn't count. But she does have that tiger.
Why those three?
Because they were the first three that came to my mind.
Because I think the Lion King would probably win.
The Lion King would win. The Lion King's not a character, Keith.
He is. Whatever he's called, Simba, whatever.
No, actually, you're quite right. Sorry, that is Ripper. He is the Lion King, isn't he?
He'd rip them all up.
That's true. So you mean Simba, not the original? Because the original Lion King is
not when he's a kid.
Isn't it?
Yeah, he becomes a cloud, doesn't he? No.
Becomes a cloud, and he becomes Darth Vader.
That's what happens, Keith, to us.
Keith, I don't think you got the subtle metaphor of what that was about.
He becomes a cloud!
Yes.
Oh, that happens in The Land Before Time as well, and he sees his mum and she's a cloud.
Oh, Land Before Time. Oh, that dinosaur nonsense.
Yeah.
And The Neverending Story. Oh.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, nostalgic 80s flashback. Willy, 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 willy. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? Oh, yes, Skylanders. So, not Disney, not any of this. Skylanders Battlegrounds is now out. You can get the package. We've seen it from... we linked to Amazon on our article. You can go and buy the package. It's, you know, 40 quid. And there's one rating so far which has given it one star. And that rating has given it one star because it says, and you can tell that the person who's made the comment is an aficionado of this sort of thing. He says, the picture doesn't represent the figures you get because you get the S1 pose, not the S2 pose. Yeah, it's like, whoa, okay, step back. Someone knows what they're talking about.
Whoa, back up, gangster.
I know. This is clearly not the hero pose. This is in it, the S2 pose that you see him in. In episode 3A of the Skylanders series. I don't know because I don't play any of them. But I understand, Peter, you'll be giving us some inside Skylanders information a little later on, won't you? Because he's been playing new games. And there's been a lot of new releases this week. Not much news, but a load of new releases. So we're going to go over and check them out on the new releases roundabout. First up on this week's new releases, we have a game by Joss Pressian, who I know is the guy from Crescent Moon Games. The game is called 300 Dwarves. Clearly trying to one-up The Hobbit here, because, you know, what's better than 13 Dwarves? 300 Dwarves, that's what. It's a tower defense game. It claims that the defenses consist of 5 towers, all of which possess unique abilities, and you get 3 special powers you can unleash on foes, and a skill tree... 32 upgrades. Now, none of that really means anything to me. But from the images we've got, we haven't got any... Oh, we do have a video. Let's have a look at the video.
Well, you're going to want to skip to, like, 1:05.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, it's a tower defense game.
All right, okay. So we have confirmation. It's clearly a tower defense game.
It looks nice.
It's kind of a ye olde worldy art style, isn't it? It's like it's drawn in kind of murky watercolors.
This looks a bit like my favorite tower defense game.
What game would that be, Keith?
Well, what is it called? Oh, no. Oh, hang on. Let me go look at my iPad. Where is my iPad? Where's my iPad? Oh, for God's sake. What's it called? What's my favourite game? Oh, Kingdom Rush.
Kingdom Rush, there we go.
Kingdom Rush. Yeah, that's very similar.
I suppose it does. It's quite simplistic, quite crudy art style. So you're dwarves and you're defending against waves of what appear to be goblins and orcs and all that kind of stuff. Standard fantasy malarkey. And it looks, as Keith said, a bit like Kingdom Rush. It is out now. It's $2.99 bucks. That's for the HD version. But it's only HD. It's got HD in it, which usually suggests that's for the iPad. But no, it's universal. So if you want something a bit Kingdom Rushy, although customer reviews all 1 star, Very low level compared to others of the genre. App crashes at various stages. Looks like Kingdom Rush, but isn't even close. Oh, dear. Ooh. So, not much love on the iTunes window.
I won't be getting that, then.
Perhaps not. But they might all be wrong. It might be amazing. I don't know. I haven't played it. This next one is... what? Just why? Okay, it's called Oreo, colon, twist, lick, dunk.
Oh, Oreo, colon, twist, lick, dunk?
Yeah, that's what that I do. Painful. My Oreo, colon. Yeah, what do you do? Yeah, it's a new casual... Stop cackling. And a casual title from the Flick Kick Football fellows and the Monsters Ate My Condo guys. Oh, God, the way this is written. In it, you're tasked with, well, twisting, licking, and dunking sugary biscuit snacks, which apparently isn't as easy as it sounds. Because why? Oh, God, it gets worse. Why? Well, you have to twist and lick them as they fly through the air. Which is how I eat all my sugary snack-based foods.
Have you ever had an Oreo?
I have had an Oreo because my old flatmate brought them back from the States at one time.
They're all right.
Yeah, they're all right. But I understand there's a thing where you take an Oreo and you pull the top bit off, and then you grab another one, you pull the top bit off that, and then you stick the two bits with the white goo together, and you make like a double decker.
They're called double stuffs, and you can just buy double stuffs. And if you buy double stuffs and do the same thing, you can make a quadruple stuff.
And does it just keep going on and on like that?
I don't know. I don't know whether or not they actually sell quadruple stuffs.
Until you can't get them in your mouth anymore. No, well, they've clearly made an Adva game thing based around that. What it looks like we've just got a still image from the screenshot. It looks like it's going to be some kind of, they fly through the air and then you have to swipe your finger across them in a big old line. And your finger is the tongue in this instance.
Jeez.
In terms of the licking. I don't want to describe this game. It's icky. Keith, you describe this game, because nothing you say ever sounds dodgy or slightly innuendo-like.
I can't go there.
Can't. Lick my biscuit, Keith. Lick it. Anyway, Oreo Twist, Lick, and Dunk can be downloaded free for your iPhone and iPad.
For free? Are you saying that a game that advertises to me I can download for free?
Yes, and I imagine it will be an even better game if you enjoy it whilst munching a delicious Oreo cookie. Oreo cookies. Don't send me any Oreo cookies because I don't like them. But if you're not interested in cookies, how about The Littlest Pet Shop by that little studio called Game Loft? It's another free-to-play one. You have to... Oh, God, what a weird list of names. You have to help Blythe, Minka, Penny, Pepper, Russell, Sunil, Vinny, and Zoe, which is a bit boring, adopt and take care of 150 pets. So this is going to be one of them free... Is it going to be free to play? Yeah, it bloody is. It's going to be a free to play pet management buildy game thing, isn't it? Let's have a look. Oh my God.
They look scary.
There's a 21-minute trailer. I'm not wading through all that. They do look a bit scary. It looks quite psychedelic.
21 minutes?
Yep, there's a 21-minute gameplay trailer.
It's longer than an episode of Neighbours.
This looks right up my street.
You live on a weird street. Although, you do like all that pet management nonsense, don't you?
And this week I'm actually playing... Now, last week I was like, I'm going to play My Little Pony. Well, I actually am playing it this week.
You're now actually a brony.
I actually have been put onto that as a review, and I'm really liking it. So, yeah, I will now probably go and download Littlest Pet Shop.
It looks like from you get a side view of a street where you can see inside all the houses. It looks like you have to manage and maintain all the different pets. The pets themselves are dressed up in all manner of weird stuff. Lots of pink, lots of bright, sunny smiles, lots of sickly, sweet sunshine stuff, huge anime eyes that look so cute you just want to stab them out. Yeah, it's one of those.
One of the dogs is wearing a beret.
Wow. It must be amazing.
Sold.
So anyway, Meganoid 2 by Orange Pixel has come out, which is a sequel, unsurprisingly, to Meganoid 1, which is one of those lo-fi retro pixel art looking side scrollers, which you have to bundle through a level real quick, avoiding spikes, enemies, hazards, all the standard stuff. And the levels are really, really quick. But I played the original and it was actually really quite good fun. it was a decent, you know, well-controlled, pretty responsive. Not unlike League of Evil in the sense that it's, you know, one of those retro games that plays quite well, surprisingly well for a sort of chargy platformer.
It looks like if Super Meat Boy got the Rick Dangerous license.
I always assumed it was a bit Indiana Jones. Because he's got
Rick Dangerous. Yeah, Rick Dangerous was like that, wasn't it? There's even a massive homage to it in the trailer where you have to run down past, you know, like you run past boulders and stuff like that. Yeah. Like that was from Indiana Jones. Well, Rick Dangerous had one of those things as like the opening scene, and it's basically exactly the same, replicated exactly the same in this trailer, which is cool because Rick Dangerous was great. So I'm sure this is good.
Well, yeah, the original was fun. It's available for $69.99, and that's for a limited time. It's just come out, so if you fancy looking, grab it now. And reviews have been strong for this one. Customers are liking it. So go and have a look.
The review is strong with this one.
Exactly. Yes. I didn't expect you to make any kind of Star Wars reference. I thought you were anti the wars.
I like Star Wars.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm genuine. Right.
I don't like those Vodafone adverts, but, you know, I like Star Wars.
No, yeah. Neither do I. That's fine. Okay, good.
Poor Yoda.
Tropical Stormfront by Christoph Ashwanden. I don't know what company he's being published by, but it's a real-time strategy title that gives you 25 missions, isometric, top-down, retro-type graphics, and you're trying to take charge of islands. So it's a military push-back the fog of war tactical game. It looks all right, I suppose. I'm not a huge tactical guy, but...
No, neither am I.
We seem to have Japan, the US, and Germany. And is that China? Who's that? Oh, no, it's Soviet Union. This is particularly, they've all been involved in wars. I don't know if you know. But...
I did hear something about that. Apparently, they've given an important note. Please note the game crashes at startup if your region format is set to certain countries, including Russia, Japan, or China. So the game is slightly racist.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to set it to United States.
For it to work.
It's like a nationalistic American game that insists that you tell your phone you're in the US or you can't play.
Or you move.
I'm looking at this, though, and, like, it looks... Well, to me it looks boring, but I'm sure it's fine. But I'm looking at it and thinking, that is a really, really well-realized game in its visuals, in so much as it really does look like a strategy game from 93. Like, doesn't it? Like, it looks bang on. Like, it looks like I've fired this up in Windows 95. That's really clever. Well done, Christoph Ashwanden. Well done. You've done well.
He doesn't sound like he's an American name, does it? You think this is all a bit strange.
Well, you're assuming this is some kind of devious plotting where they set your phone to the US and then they take over your phone and then
it's a bit odd, isn't it? It's a bit strange.
Put in the launch codes. I think it was probably just a mistake.
A mass war between those four as well. It's very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to get in at the ground level on this soon-to-be World War III mass war sparked by a mobile game, Desert Stormfront can be picked up for £2.99 or £4.99. Dollars and check it out if you want. Oh, hang on. Is there more? Oh, there's two. He's done two. Oh, it the war is coming. This is clearly the beginning. Tropical Stormfront and Desert Stormfront.
It's a reskin.
Yeah, clearly it's a reskin. They've just basically made all the green bits beige.
Do you think that if I get one and then you get one, James, and then we meet up?
Oh, the Brits are in this one.
do you think that maybe we can trade and then I'll get Mewtwo?
Oh, God, I'm so ashamed that I know what you're talking about. Ugh. I still haven't properly sat down and completed a Pokemon game, though. So
I haven't got all 151 yet, so still doing it. Still 20 years later.
Still defying the adverts.
Still going.
Well done, you. So, yes, Tropical Stormfront or Desert Stormfront, depending on which colour you want.
It has planes in it as well, this second one.
Like deserts. You probably played Desert Strike, and sure, there were planes and helicopters and stuff.
Oh, I think we've got a rack. Oh, and the United Arab Emirates, I think that is. Interesting.
Controversial.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of those you can grab for the same price, I suspect. Away from war and onto Order and Chaos multiplayer online game. It's Game Loft's Heroes of Order and Chaos, which is apparently the App Store's first multiplayer online battle arena game. A fantasy-filled adventure, you get to pick from 30 warriors or wizards, meet up with your friends online, try and batter the hell out of your enemies, and then do their base in. This is not Game Loft's first step into the kind of multiplayer online world. Oh, hang on. To be fair, this looks quite smart.
What should we say about this?
I like the lighting effects.
The lighting effects, amazing. Well done.
Looks well pretty. Yeah, it does.
Coloured lighting, incredible. it is very inspired by sort of Warcraft and D&D and
every other.
I'm just getting a bit sick of fantasy. Like, I'm just getting really sick of it.
Well,
like,
I wouldn't get sick of it too quickly. It had a massive resurgence around Lord of the Rings. Fantasy came back in a big bad way, and it's only a few weeks till The Hobbit. So there's going to be even more. You know there is. You're going to have to deal with even more dwarves than you can shake an enchanted stick at. So look forward to that. If you want to play, get it for free, iPhone and iPad. It looks really pretty. We'll say that much. And finally, this week, we have Verticus, which is a release from none other than Mr. Avengers Assemble himself, Stan Lee, who provides his very own voice for our listening pleasure during the game. He does a voiceover, basically, where he explains the obviously ridiculous plot, which casts you as a man in a suit, no surprises there, who has to jump, basically just dives through the atmosphere, so you're falling, much in the way of that exclamation point game that they have. So you're flying down through the atmosphere, and then once you get to city level, you're like dodging skyscrapers and buildings and collecting power-ups and whatnot, and then when you get to the ground, you actually go through the ground, and you carry on falling into the center of the earth. It actually looks very nice. It's got really slick production values. And we reviewed it. I think it came out at the very tail end of last week, but we didn't get it in the podcast. And it got silver and said, might not be deep, but it's really good fun. So, yeah, Verticus, iPhone, iPad. Let me check how much it's going to cost you. I reckon it launched at 69p, 99 cents. Oh, hang on, free for one day only. It's a Thanksgiving thing, so... it might still be free at the time you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, go and have a look. It might still be free. If not, probably 69p 99 cents, so go and check it out. So we've had a look at the new releases for this week, but what we should also have a quick look at is some of the games we've actually been playing ourselves. I know Peter's dying to talk about his game. And I'm sure Keith is as well, because I'm sure Keith's been playing loads and loads of games. I'm sure
he's always playing games.
Nothing but games from dawn till dusk for the entire week. Isn't that right, Keith?
I've played so many, I can't even remember them.
Well, wow.
That is surprising. But we'll get to talk about that a little bit more in this week's What We've Been Playing. So, Keith, of all the many games that you have been playing this week...
Why are you coming to me?
What do you think is the best of these games? What captured your imagination the most? What is the most unforgettable title of the week?
I played a bit of FIFA.
Still good?
Yeah.
The other day did a game, have you, Keith?
This feels a lot like when I didn't do my homework in school and I was asked.
Vibe, oh, you're such a telltale, Pete, honestly. I could have got away with it had you not made a thing of it.
Oh, it's Keith. See me after the podcast. Keith hasn't been playing any games because he's been, I don't know, writing or something. Apparently he's a journalist. Or
I've not been doing that either.
Oh, no? All right, then. I don't know. You've just been flicking cards into hats. Does anyone ever do that? You know how when they always cut to someone killing time in a movie, they're flicking cards into like a bowler hat or something like that. Does anyone actually do that for real? Or is that just one of those accepted film?
I don't have one of those hats.
No, I don't reckon that's a real thing. Anyway, you've been doing that clearly, so no time for games. But I've been playing some games. Specifically, I've been playing a game called Splice. which I'm very happy to talk about because it's really good. Following on from last week's very good game, which was Waking Mars, I have decided to catch up with the only game that we awarded a Platinum Award to this year.
Do what?
Yeah, it got a Platinum, which is our highest Pocket Gamer honour, and it's the only one this year that's got it. So I thought that's probably definitely worth a look. Actually, what put all these games into my mind is they've just done a humble bundle for Android, and the list of games is awesome, and those two games are on it. And I was like, oh, I should probably actually play those on my iPad. And Splice was recommended to me by the people there. What it is a puzzle game where you have to move cells around so that they fit into preconceived DNA strand shapes. So essentially, at its most basic level, you've got, say, three or four cells, for example, in a little strand, in a pattern, and then you've got little kind of outlines that show you where the cells should be, and you want to move the cells in to fit those slots, fit those gaps. Now, you can't just move one cell at a time and, you know, put one in there and one in there and move them around like that. When you move one cell, the strand kind of moves as a whole and adopts certain shapes and patterns. Which cell you decide to move determines the shape that it's going to go into, and then you have to work out where that might fit within the pattern. So it starts off very simply, and then very quickly gets complicated. It's quite tough, is the first thing I'll say, because it doesn't give you any instructions. The game boots up and you just get a title screen, just the Splice, it's all floating around, and it's astonishingly well presented. It's really beautiful. And you tap the screen and it kind of whooshes away into the distance and then is replaced by the sequence, what they call sequence, which is basically the levels, and you tap the first sequence and it whooshes back again and then presents you with the first level. And it's all kind of seamless. There's no like loading screen in between, and there's no instructions. You're just given this group of three or four cells and the two empty slots, and you just have to kind of start moving them around and see what happens, which is something I really like. It can be a help or a hindrance. If your game is too weird and oblique, if you don't give it a tutorial, you have no idea what's going on. But with something like this, it's quite easy at first to understand what the principle is. As long as you start moving things around and trying stuff out, you get there quite quickly, which is lovely because it rewards you for trying stuff out. It gives you a real sense of exploration and like you're discovering the game for yourself rather than just being led by the hand, which is kind of exciting. So you get through the whole first sequence. It does start getting quite tricky quite quickly, to the point where some people I know have been put off by it. But if you do have a look at it, persevere, because it's incredibly elegant and one of those games that's really satisfying when you get the puzzle right. As soon as you work out what it is, you get that a very big kind of, you know, that big cosmic pat on the head for being a clever boy and working it all out, which is what puzzle games are all about. You know, you solve the puzzle when you get that kind of doing it all slots into place, and the game can be judged on whether you get a yes out of that or a eh. When you get into the next stage, they start introducing cells that have other abilities. And they modify the gameplay. So, for example, there's one that's presented where one of the cells has arrows on it, downward-facing arrows. And the central cell, there's always one central cell, which forms like an anchor for the rest of them, is kind of flashing white. And if you move, if you sort of stroke the cell downwards, all the cells that are below the splitter cell split two ways. So the cells duplicate and go like one to the left and one to the right, forming a new pattern, and then that gets incorporated into to the puzzle. So you have to work out how to move them around and when to split the cells so that they will form the shapes you need them to form. And again, just that process of discovery is fun in and of itself. And benefit of the whole thing, it's packaged so well. The interface is slick. If you go back, it kind of zooms back through the menus, as if the menus themselves were kind of a strand of DNA. It feels like, you know, that there's been a big overarching theme that's been really well considered and cleverly implemented. And just the fact that there's like barely any text, there's no prompts, no nothing. You find your way through the game. It can get tough, but the rewards are really high as a result. And I don't think it's too frustrating. I don't think it goes into ridiculous territory. I haven't finished it yet, but if you're prepared to have a challenge and if you approve of games that create a sense of atmosphere, Splice is for you. Do definitely go and have a look at it. I couldn't tell you the price right now. I don't think it's too expensive. I think it's 69p, 99 cents. But seriously, Harry, our reviewer, gave it a Platinum Award, and I think it may well be worth it. So go and check out Splice. Which leaves us with Peter. What have you
been playing? I've been going back through the podcast archive, and there was that one where I talked about Skylanders, and I basically said that it was for social miscreants and
didn't you cuss out your friend?
Yes, and I had a go at my friend for not being able to give them up, and I thought, ah, what a sap. He buys toys. That's ridiculous. I'm a grown man. When I became a man, I put childish things down.
Yes.
When I became a man that plays video games for a living. and so basically, I got assigned Skylanders this week with Lost Islands. And it's a freemium game. And it's amazing.
Oh, what?
So, like, obviously, I play a lot of freemium games in my sort of like day-to-day life, work life.
You do, and don't you? We've got some sort of critics of the freemium model on this site, but you are one of its proponents. You like?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And like, part of my job is obviously reviewing freemium games, and I've been playing like Clash of Clans and that sort of stuff. But oh my goodness me, Skylanders Lost Islands is so compelling. And I think that it's actually something to do with what we touched on just earlier, where I sort of said, oh, I don't really like games that really make me think for myself. Skylanders is really good at giving you lots and lots and lots of challenges to go through. Obviously, so it's like a world builder, essentially. You're given an island and a series of islands eventually when you unlock new areas, big chunky new areas that you only have to pay for once, you get a Skylander, which is might be Spyro, for example. It's from the Spyro series, if you remember that. The little purple dragon, and which I never cared for, by the way. You get them, and then you build houses to house a populace called the Mabu. And with the Mabu, if you have more of them free, then you can build community buildings like a mill or a mine. Or something that doesn't begin with them. And then you grow crops, and from the crops you get energy, which is I found a bit strange that happens, but that's fine. And from the you then use the energy to go on missions with your Skylanders, and from those missions, which you don't have to do anything on them, there's no mini games or anything like that, after, let's say, I think the top mission is something like 22 hours it will take for a Skylander to come back. After like 22 hours, they come back with a shed load of money, and then you buy more houses, and you buy more land, and you buy more things, and you grow more crops, and you do all this sort of stuff. It's all very, very cyclical. And it's the thing I really, really love about it is it's so rewarding, in so much as every level that you get, there's a bam and a flash of white light. And it's a yes, like incredible, like it's got that pop cap level of well done.
Are you sure you're just not having a stroke?
Yeah, well, it's possible. But it does. It has that bejeweled or that Peggle level of well done you. You know, positive reinforcement, like, all of the time. If you hit a new level, you're constantly hitting new levels, like, so you have levels of your actual island, which you get from like tapping on the houses after they give you, you know, after you've waited a certain amount of time, or you have that, and you'll build up levels, and that means that you get access to new buildings. But your Skylanders also have levels, so, you know, you're getting this like bam, 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 like exciting flash of well done, like every couple of times that you turn the game on, basically. And you're also rewarded in terms of like the money, the value of things is so high, but you're also rewarded like immensely as well. So if you send somebody out on like a 22-hour mission, yeah, you haven't got that Skylander for a while, but ultimately when they come back, they'll be coming back with this huge sum of money, and you can then build loads of stuff, and you can buy loads and loads of like plot land area, and you can one of them is like it will take you like two or three adventures, and you can buy like a whole new plot of land, and plots of land are really expensive, but you're rewarded so much just for kind of taking part. You can put your Skylanders into the game through the thingy of power, whatever it is.
The thingy of power.
The thingy of power.
Portal.
The portal. You can do that. But you also get a code with each Skylander figure that you buy, and you can just tap that in. And at the moment, that's kind of what I've been doing. And I will say this, I went out and bought a Skylander.
In a shop, in public, in daylight.
Yes, I went to a retail store that is named after a Greek god, and I went there and I said, "I'll have this, please." And they went, "Skylanders, a swarm, is it? A giant Skylander? That's be £15." And I was like, "Yep, thank you." Put my card in, and he looked at me and was like, "You a big fan then?" Like that. And I went, "Oh, it's for Christmas coming up, and my nephew is." Oh,
lame.
And, yeah, and so it is rather embarrassing, but he is sitting on my shelf now. And this is the thing, I've never paid for anything in a freemium game, ever. And technically, I suppose I still haven't. But I did go out and buy a physical object so that I could play more in the game. I don't think it is worse.
Corrupted.
I have now I have been corrupted by the delights that are little plastic figurines. But the thing is that it is just so, you want them, because I'm a bit hesitant with digital content. If it goes over a few quid, I feel like I actually want something. I've got that old school mentality of
you want a physical product.
Yeah, like if I'm going to spend a fiver, I think I want something physical out of it. And basically, like, 7 or 8 quid will go and get you one of these extra Skylanders, and one extra purchase of 7 or 8 quid, which for a toy is not a lot, but for an in-app purchase is massive. But like, for 7 or 8 quid, you can really boost your little town and its production, like, massively. And the best thing about all of this stuff is that those codes come, like, they're just normal toys, like, they're just, I think it's just the Series 2 models that do it, but like, if you've got the home console version, and there are a lot of people out there that do, then you've already got these codes, so you can go and get this freemium game. You get extra currency, and I think you get extra energy, and you get an extra Skylander, which is basically like a worker, I suppose, for this freemium game. And you're not really spending anything, because you've already got them for this home console release, or the 3DS release, for example, that's coming out. And it's just fantastic. The game itself is just constantly rewarding you. It just feels, it's so happy and delightful. There's a real, like, sense of humor to the whole proceedings. Like, there's sheep mobs. Like, you have to basically, the little trolls come up, and they're like, ha, 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 and they're like hanging out, and you have to get rid of them, and you get extra currency for getting rid of them. But then the game seems to think that sheep are evil, so it will have like a little tiny sheep mob, and you get rid of them, and then like the Skylanders are just so beautifully, like, put together, the little 3D polygons, and they're full of character and charm. They're so well put together. Like, the only thing, literally the only thing that I don't like about this game, and I think it is a bit of a serious detractment, is that the actual buildings themselves, there's no, like, movement to them. There's a mine, for example, and there's no movement in that mine. Like, there's a floating building that's on one of the islands, and that sort of moves a little bit. So you kind of see, like, the developers are thinking, oh, well, maybe we should have some movement here. But all of the other houses, like, there's no tiny little pinwheel fan outside to give it just a little bit more character. Mm. But apart from that tiny sort of, like, graphical detail of the world that you're actually playing on isn't as exciting as it could be, this is so good. Like, I've been playing it for essentially 2 weeks now, and I do not see it coming off of my phone. It's so good. So exciting.
And if Disney releases Disney Infinity?
If they do that, like, I'm a sucker for Spider-Man. Like, if they do that, I think this is going to, I genuinely do think that we are coming to this point where games are coming out of the screen a lot more, whether that's in 3D, whether that's like actually sort of like something like the Wii was doing, in which you can, like, more physically interact with your games, or with plastic figures, with stuff that keeps retail going.
Well, and you're breaking the fourth wall, like, constantly with all these things, aren't you? Either putting yourself in, or taking this little figure and going beep, 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 and suddenly he's in the game.
That is actually part of this metagame of, like, yeah, I put out on Twitter, like, oh, what have I done? Like, I've bought this Skylander. And I got loads of people who got back to me going, oh, do you know what? I felt the same, but they're brilliant, aren't they? Like, and there's a real community that's kind of built up around it. I don't know how long that community is going to stay there, but I do feel like games are coming out of the screen now a lot more. And I do feel like, for me, in-app purchases work a lot better if I actually get something physical out of it. And, you know, a stupid little plastic figure with an RFID in the bottom of it, fine, whatever, that might have cost me 15 quid, but it made my game a little bit more enjoyable, and I've got a stupid little thing to sit on my desk and remind me of the £15 that I spent. Like, brilliant. And you know, if it's going to come with a really quality game, like Lost Islands, then fantastic. I'm all for this. If they make a Spider-Man one, then they Barclays may as well just give them all of my money.
Well, good. At least it wasn't a completely wasted experience. And I don't know if you've maybe you've swayed some people. Maybe now there'll be 35-year-old men strutting off down to buy. Can I have a little pink dragon, please? I want the S2 one, not the S1, not the S2, because he's the best and he's got a big.
The worst thing is, I totally know what the S1 and S2 things are.
I don't want to know.
Nope.
Don't tell me.
I don't want to tell you.
On that note, we shall say farewell for this week. Thanks for sticking with us. Go and check out pocketgamer.co.uk for all of the gaming goodness, and pocketgamer.biz for all the behind-the-scenes stuff with the developers. And follow us at pocketgamer on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page too. It's all there, all the games we've been talking about today. Go and have a little look. Thanks to Peter and Keith for joining me today. We will catch you next week. Take it easy and bye.